From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local. Happy Sunday. I'm glad you're with us. Last week was interesting. We spent some time talking about the NFL draft, and here we are, talking about issues in Green Bay, right? And Lean Local, we're the program that says we do what we say we're going to do. We lean local into our community here. And while we have great appreciation for what's going on in Ukraine and what's going on in Israel and what's going on at the presidential elections, and, you know, and that's covered pretty well by your national media and some lot by your local media, but we want to talk about what's going on here locally, the issues that are closest to you that affect you from a tax standpoint, from a raising your family standpoint, from an economic standpoint. And and there's a lot going on here. And in this episode, we're going to talk about something that is a challenge. But the beauty of Green Bay is when we have a challenge, we talk about it and then we come up with solutions. So this is just an article that you've all read, and I'm just going to read part of it to you. Get my glasses. As if a city known for football and beer needs another excuse to party. Well, bottoms up, Green Bay. We have another trophy to put in the case. A organization, financial news organization, just rated Green Bay as the drunkest city in America. The excessive drinking rate among adults in Green Bay is the highest of any metro area. And that there's an ebb and flow to that. And this is a little bit dated, but we're always, always in the top 10. The study notes Green Bay, 138 bars, more than 26% of the residents regularly drink to excess or binge drink. So, and there was a trivia question, and some guys, like, you couldn't believe it. And the question was, 7 of the drunkest cities are in one state. And, you know, if you're in Seattle, you probably think, oh, for sure it's California. And if you're in, you know, the Carolinas, you know, it's got to be Florida. But, you know, no secret to the four of us sitting here. It's it's Wisconsin. And that's sad. It kind of is. And some people, which... we're going to talk about culture change, and I know that, we're going to get to that. That has to change. I mean, you can't get mad because you fell out of number one. You know, well, we used to be number four. We got to get back up there. I mean, when you look at, you know, Madison, La Crosse, and Appleton, of course, Green Bay, and that's got to change. And I have some guests here, and I want to be sensitive to our guests, but I also want to, there's a good news. This story ends really so good news, because there's a lot of very positive things that are happening in Green Bay, and they're going to tell you about it. I'm just going to ask the questions. So we've had this reputation for some time, and I have three people in the studio with me this Sunday that we're gonna talk some questions. I have some, and they're going to add some things as well. Two who are going through recovery, and that's a tough thing to do in Green Bay. I mean, I just got to believe it's probably a little easier to go through recovery in Salt Lake City or one of the, you know, where it's not as prevalent as it is here. I think Green Bay is tough, right? They just talked about 136 bars. I mean, if you look out the window here, you know, you can see 5 or 6 places right here. And, you know, I don't think drinking is a real expensive thing. It's not, you know, it's doable. It's easy, it's accessible, and it's the cost is doable. But yet you both, both Jeremy and Nikki are going through recovery. And then the other person I brought in was a friend of mine, and you've met him before. He's been on the Mino and the Mayor show, and that's, they make it very professional, Lawrence. I call him Larry. Anyway, Lawrence Nicodem, who is a alcohol and drug counselor, 30 years, Larry?
40.
40 years. So you know this industry. And are you surprised that we continually are in number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6?
No. One of the things that I came to realize when I moved here to Green Bay a little over 20 years ago, and I had already worked in two other states, and when I would do what is known as clinical interviews, assessments, initially I was like, oh my God, they got a problem here. And yes, they do. One of the reasons that the problem is different in my estimation here and not so much as in other states is the mindset. There's a mindset that excessive drinking is normal. It's normalized here. Other states where I've worked, it wasn't like that. They knew excessive drinking wasn't normal, and so they knew to lie to me. Here, everybody told me everything about it. When I'd ask them, you know, do you ever drink to get drunk? They look at me like I got three heads. Well, yeah. You know, and so they don't even know that it's not normal, many people.
So, again, not good. Did they grow up in that environment? Do they watch TV? Do we have leaders in the community that encourage it? Like, why is that?
All of the above. Yeah, the environment. I mean, you know, some people who come out of families that you have generations of alcohol problems, drug problems, you know. And when you have that in one generation, it increases the risk for the next generation.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not until one of the generations, like the two people who are sitting in this room, make a choice to find recovery and get sober and stay sober, that they can change that for the next generation.
Let me go with you, Jeremy. You struggled with alcohol.
Yes, I did.
And were you high school, little kid, college, or you talk closer to the mic. When did you were into this thing where it's like, wow, this, everybody does this?
Well, when I first started, it wasn't really I didn't see it as a problem. It was normal. It was just, you know, high school kids going out to the woods, getting drunk on the weekends, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it graduated as I got older.
To where you became daily, or what, or oh, was it the octane that went up, or what happened?
It was, well, the octane went up. It started out as beer, and I really didn't like beer that much. And then it graduated to booze. And it was pretty much it. By the time I stopped, it was basically every day, all day.
And Nikki, and thanks for coming in here. I know you're a little nervous about coming in. This will be a very chill show. And if you're uncomfortable with something, just, you know, wave me off. But I know Jeremy a little bit. I don't really know you that well. But you, was it a grade school, high school thing with you, or was it a tragic thing that got you?
I started in high school, but I had seen my parents drink all the time. My brothers drank. And then high school, we go to parties and stuff. And then in college, I went to a technical college. I felt that there was nothing else to do but drink. And then it graduated from there, and then it was an all-day, everyday thing.
You know, it's funny. It's not funny. You, Jeremy, and I told the story to high school. You know that was illegal when we were all in high school drinking?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We did it anyway.
And I don't know, did our parents know? But if we got caught, it's not like, you know, it just didn't seem like the risk reward was that dangerous.
Well, when I
not the risk reward.
Remember there was a time in Wisconsin where you could sit at a bar with your parents and drink with them. If they gave the bartender permission to serve you, they would serve children.
A kid. I mean, you're talking about that kid could be 9.
Yeah. Young.
Well, when I turned 18, my parents told me I could come home from high school and have a drink while I was doing my homework.
Wow. Okay.
You know what that's called? Conditioning. We get conditioned to believe that that's normal. It looks normal. And everybody's having fun.
Yeah.
You know, and so we learn, okay, how the substance, you know, affects us. And then eventually we start to seek it out more.
With the high school and that, we're not going to talk a lot about high school, but Larry, I'd ask you this. Is that still a thing? Do kids still drink in high school like they did when we were? Because we're similar in age. I'm probably a little bit older. But does that still happen? And I don't have high school kids. I mean, they're.
Yeah. I think it varies depending on, you know, the school, the community, things like that. But I think in general, sure, there's some of that going on.
We've done some, it's anecdotal, but it's still studies nonetheless. Because we have this, we have the U.S. Conference of Mayors, which is mayors from all the United States. But then we had just the whole Wisconsin mayor thing. One of the, like the people in Rhinelander would say there's nothing else to do.
Right.
I mean, is that a thing? Is that true or is that just an excuse?
I think that that's what people are led to believe instead of looking for other things right. to do or to do things without alcohol, you know, like bowling. Who the hell bowls without drinking?
Right.
Right.
Football.
Right. You know, a lot of things. Fishing.
Right.
You name it.
Cherry picking. Yeah, there's just and to believe that those things can happen, you may need some different friends.
Sure.
And it's tough when you're, 40. Can you imagine how hard it is to throw your friends away when you're 18, 19, when you're even younger than that, when you're kind of impressionable? I mean, that's got to be a challenge, you know? And I want to ask you, Nikki, when did you realize, like, this is not good? Was it you tell me whatever you want. Was it a DUI or was it just somebody that said to you, look, Nikki, this is crazy?
The DUIs didn't faze me. I ended up in the ICU at the first of the year, and the doctor said I would die if I didn't stop drinking, and I still drank. What got to me finally was I got kicked out of where I was living, and I had nowhere else to go, and I got into the place where I'm staying now, and it's a sober living place, and it saved my life.
Wow, that's what it took.
Yeah.
You know, that, I don't know, that you think the DUI would be an unbelievable wake-up call?
To me, it was like a rite of passage growing up in Green Bay. Everybody gets one.
Okay, I want to talk, this story ends really well. There's some great things going on. We're going to get to that, but I just want to, we're going to take a little break here. We are talking about really the challenge that we face here in Green Bay with alcohol, but we're going to get to celebrate Recovery Month, which is what we're in right now. And we're going to talk about that with our very special guest. We have Jeremy, Nikki, and of course, Larry is here, who is the counselor. Stick around. We'll be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. I'm a walking dreamer, baby. If I stopped, it would make the show. Jim Schmidt, a show where we talk about kind of what's going on in the local community here. And there's a lot going on all over everywhere, but we have plenty going on here in Green Bay. And today we're focusing a little bit on alcoholism and just different ways to recover. And I'm joined by three special guests, two friends. Well, they're all friends of mine, I guess. So two I know pretty well. And that's Nikki and Jeremy, and then Larry, who's a counselor where I work, alcohol and drug counselor, been in the industry 40 years. During the break, before we went to break, we're talking about this acceptance of behavior. I mean, acceptance by our parents, acceptance by, binge drinking. Your kids didn't, your friends didn't say, "Oh my God, dude, what's wrong with you?" It was like, "Well, yeah, okay." Nikki was sharing that a DUI. It's like, everybody gets a DUI, Jeremy, you run a restaurant, you're a manager. And even when people would come in from other communities, embarrassed by, when they had to fess up to you that they had a DUI, did you beat them up for that?
No, to me, basically everybody in the restaurant had a DUI. So it wasn't a deal breaker to hire you. You know, they'd say, "Well, I just want to let you know, because you have on the application or on the resume, or, you know, not on the resume, but on their application, that they do have DUIs. You know, this is my second, I have two DUIs, you know. And I always told them, I said, that's not a deal breaker to get the job here. I said, everybody's got one. So that's not a problem.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess you wonder why we are where we are. And the other thing is that it's accessible. I mean, was there a time in Green Bay where you couldn't buy alcohol on Sundays or not? Maybe not. But there are some communities where you can't.
Oh, yeah.
But here, it's just pretty easy. And then you even see these grocery stores now. I don't think there was alcohol in grocery stores, and now they have that. And now we have, like, if you order a meal, you can order a drink to be delivered, right. Which is...
Well, and during COVID, you could pull up to a bar, and they would bring drinks out to your car. You know?
Yeah.
We have walk-in coolers in gas stations, you know.
Yeah.
I never saw that until I moved to Wisconsin.
Yeah. There is such thing as responsible drinking.
There is.
But it seems to bite us a little harder because I don't know why we're not responsible. And is that, again, I'm thinking a lot of this has to do with youth. I mean, Larry, do people become, do they start drinking later in life, like at 25, 28?
Sure. I've had some that in their 20s. I have somebody from another state that's here that I'm working with, who never touched alcohol until he came here. He used to do hard drugs. Never hardly got in trouble with the hard drugs. As soon as he started drinking, he's been in jail several times.
You know, and people do focus a lot on, and we talk a lot about that on this show as well, you know, hard drugs.
Right.
Fentanyl, cocaine.
Not to mention, though, I'm sorry, alcohol is a hard drug, by the way.
Well, I don't, that's my point I was going to make, is I don't think people put that in the same class.
No, a lot of people don't. And that's why when we refer to it, we'll say, alcohol and other drugs.
Or if you might get caught with weed, or even, you know, and it's like, well, you know, just the opposite was my point, is that, well, if you get caught with alcohol, well, at least he's not doing weed.
Right.
At least he's not smoking marijuana. At least he's not doing cocaine. Yet you, as a counselor, would put those all in the same.
The reality is that alcohol kills more people worldwide a year than all the other drugs combined.
Yeah.
Except tobacco.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, we got an uphill battle. But let's turn the page here. There's some good things going on.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, AA's been around for a long time. And, you know, it's funny because recovery, and I know a little bit about this, not as much as you guys know, but it's not real expensive. I mean, right? You can self-determination in AA.
Sure.
That can work? Does that work? What helped you? Jeremy, tell me. You're a recovering alcoholic, right?
Yes.
And you're doing great.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like really into it. I'm really excited about not drinking, to be honest with you. I never thought I would be this excited about it.
That is like music to a lot of people's ears who are listening.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, this guy really, he drank, you know, he's an alcoholic, and he is like excited he's not.
Yeah, very much.
But they can't think like that right now. You know, if they're in,
sure.
You know.
That's called reconditioning.
Okay.
You know, changing the thinking, you know.
Tell me about that. Like, what was the impetus for that change?
Well, I got sick. I started having seizures, and I actually thought that it was part of the alcohol, you know, because something, I would black out and come to find out when I stopped drinking, because I saw a doctor and they said you had a spot in your brain and you're having seizures, and if you keep drinking, you will die. And so, you know, I pretty much stopped drinking, and then these episodes kept happening to me, and I didn't understand why. And then I put two and two together. It was because of the seizures, and I always thought it was the alcohol, and they could have coincided together.
Right.
And so I stopped drinking, and I started getting better. I started feeling better. I was drinking to pass the time. Basically, it was, you know, I wake up, I'd have to drink to get normal. And then I could go to work and come
really?
Home. Yeah. It was just to get normal. Just drink enough just to get normal. And then on the days off, it was drink to go to sleep and to make the day go away.
Oh, Nikki, you're kind of nodding your head. Same thing. It was more of a just to get through the day.
It started with just drinking out, you know, going out with my friends, and then I didn't want to have hangovers. And so I would keep drinking, and then I'd have to drink to be normal, to be able to get up out of bed, to go to work. And then it got to the point where I couldn't keep a job, but I was still drinking.
It's pretty powerful. I mean, the alcohol. I mean, DUIs didn't shake you. Losing your job, you kept drinking. I mean, the power of alcohol has got to be unbelievable.
Keep in mind, as somebody consumes and ingests alcohol, okay, what it's eventually getting to is rewiring the brain. And that's where that addiction takes place, predominantly is in the brain. It affects the rest of our body, all of our body and our brain. But predominantly, the addiction is there because of how it rewires the brain. And so feeling normal, okay, you had a drink to feel normal. You start by learning how it affects us, then you seek it out more, and eventually you get to that point of drinking just to feel normal, whatever normal is.
Right. I think that's the question. So we need to rewire the brain to a new normal.
Absolutely.
And we're going to talk about how we can do that. The services here in Green Bay, the support that's here in Green Bay. You, all three of you, think it's a growing culture in Green Bay, which I'm very encouraged to hear that. And it really, this month is something to celebrate with Celebrate Recovery Month. So we're going to come back, talk about some of the programs, some of the things that you've done to get on the right track and how we can help other people. Stick around. We're going to be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor, Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, and a show where we talk about what's going on in our local community, our local environment. And as we talked about many times on this show, you know, Greater Green Bay, our MSA, the Metropolitan Statistical Area, was chosen as the number one place to live in the United States. And, you know, for those of us, and a lot of people have traveled, but I mean, I've been in every state. That is quite an honor to get that. I was like, wow, Green Bay is the number one place to live. And they gave a lot of reasons. Your money goes further. The amenities we have here, our crime rate's low, and a whole bunch of other things. But with all those accolades come some challenges. And one of the biggest challenges that we have here is alcoholism. It's binge drinking. It's being the number one or number 10 or number always in the top 10 for drunkest cities in the United States, which is crazy. Some people are proud of that, and many of us think we have to work on that. And so we're here with three guests, Jeremy and Nikki, who are both people who are going through recovery right now, and they talked a little bit about their childhood and really got what got them to turn the corner. And then we also have Larry Nicodem, right, Larry?
Yes.
Larry Nicodem, who's here, who is an alcohol and drug counselor. So here we are with an issue that's very challenging, but there's hope.
Oh, absolutely.
So let's talk about all the good things that we're trying to do here, and then okay, go ahead.
Let me tell you about a group of people here in Brown County who meet every month, and that group of people, a very large group, meet every month, and it's the, it's a coalition. And that coalition, that Brown County Coalition, is determined and focused and dedicated to changing the attitude about alcohol and drinking and other drugs. And so we have something that we've created called Sober Green Bay. And partly too the reason that Celebrate Recovery is going to be, in a couple of weeks at Bay Beach, is coming out of that coalition as well.
Wow.
And that coalition includes police, schools, health department, addiction counselors, social workers, any agency in the area. All the hospitals are all part of that coalition.
And your main focus is to bring about a sober Green Bay.
Absolutely, to change the thinking.
What are some of the initiatives that are kind of coming out saying, wow, we got to do that? And what are some of the things that you're working on? I got to believe it has to do with some of the youth, right? I mean, you've got to.
It's, our presence, okay? The Lambeau Field, right. The baseball field here in town.
Right.
Our presence is huge and our message is out there and we're bringing it everywhere to everybody.
And I think sometimes people, you're the psychiatrist here. I'm just someone who talks to a lot of people, but I think people do things because they don't want to be alone. But when you see these things like that baseball game you're just talking about, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Right. And that was a sober Green Bay event.
Yep.
I did send a letter. I thought that was a little weird that they put, the Jumbotron up there has, it's three things. And on the right side is, the lineup, who the players are going to be. And then the middle, it said, welcome, sober Green Bay. And the left side was a can of light beer. It's like, you guys maybe should have, was all right. I mean, they were trying. But I think that's cool. And I think everybody had you guys were there. It was a good time, yeah?
I actually did.
Oh, you did go to, okay. Well, I went to that with some of the people. There was a lot of people there. That's why, okay.
There's something there's this theme, okay, if you will, that is referred to as the faces and voices of recovery, okay? And this was adopted. And what that means is every person, every family, and every community, okay, has a part in this, okay, and can be affected by it and make this change. And the month, Recovery Month, is aimed to promote and encourage the commitment of service providers and the community members who make recovery in all its forms possible and the growth of a strong and proud recovery community.
That's
and to
the
make
mission.
It normal, there's nothing wrong with being sober.
Right.
Well, make that okay.
And Jeremy was just saying how he likes it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's happy, and that's
it all the time.
We all live to be happy.
Yes, I think.
And
Jeremy's excitement, because I'm newer in recovery. His excitement makes me want to be excited to be sober.
Isn't that right? And I think you got to get that group of people. And Jeremy, talk about we have this is Recovery Month, but there's a big event coming up on September 14th here at Bay Beach, 1313 Bay Beach Road. Everybody knows where that is. From 10 till 2, and you're going.
Yes.
We're all going.
He's very excited about it. He told me that. He goes, yeah, I'm going.
We're all going. We have a crew together at New Community Shelter. We like to call ourselves Sober Crew. And we go out and we do things together as a group. So, like, we went to Art Fest, and one of our people in the crew was kind of nervous. He said, well, they have beer tents down there. And he's afraid because it could be a trigger for him. And we looked at him and we were like, hey, you're going to be with us.
Right.
There's no need to be scared. You're going to be with us. We're not going to go anywhere near those tents. We're going as a group. We're unified. And we went to the museum. We're going to do the Bay Beach. And we want to go bowling as well. I'm really excited. We're trying to put together these shirts. And we're calling it Sober Crew, and that'll be on the front, and on the back it'll be Unity, where it says that we're stronger together. And I'm using the sign language sign for Unity on the back of the shirt as well. And I'm just very excited. I show everybody I can. I talk about it. When we do our group things, we talk about it. And it's anybody who wants to be sober, who is committed to be sober, and people that are sober, can be part of Sober Crew.
There's a sense of inclusion.
Yes.
And safety.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And there's also a sense of fun. I think sometimes you think you're going to sit around and have meetings. I mean, and, you know, the museum's awesome. The football's great. I love baseball. And he said he's getting out and doing things. And, yeah, I think there's triggers and there's temptations. And I think if you're with people who got your back, it's just going to give you more confidence.
The triggers are going to be there.
Right. They'll always be there.
And, you know, part of recovery is learning what those triggers are and having a plan. And also a group of people, a family, if you will, of other recovering people to be there for you. And in the groups that I do at the shelter, it's what it is. There's so much laughter. You know, the groups are 12, 15 people, 20 people sometimes, and it's full of laughter and sharing, and it's just amazing. Yeah.
I give quite a work at the new community shelter, you know, part-time, kind of reaching out to the community for money and just really for to educate them. And when I give tours, the number one threat is just how happy people are there.
Yeah.
And that is, there's no drinking going on there.
Yep.
Absolutely not.
None.
We've had a couple of people who have returned that I saw today. They recently returned, and they're just so happy to be there.
Right. And we do everything we have, and I think that's important. And Jeremy, you do.
Tell me about that, being happy at a homeless shelter.
I know, right.
It's amazing.
It is. And I talked to some of these guys on Monday night. We have some meetings once in a while. And, you know, I remember just talking about Christmas. And, you know, I live in a pretty nice neighborhood, and I was asking people at the homeless shelter, and again, these are all people who are not drinking. Nobody there drinks. I was asking them about Christmas, and there were some people that said, this is the best Christmas I've had, and they're in a homeless shelter.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They feel safe, they're fed, they feel loved, and they feel like there's a future for them. And can you imagine not having hope or not feeling like tomorrow's going to be a better day? I mean, that would be an awful way to live. So, I mean, I don't know what either you guys are going to end up doing, but I mean, you're young enough to do whatever you want to do, but I think your sobriety is going to be a big piece of that.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, and the other thing I just want to say about the shelter, and you guys live there, is they do things that are fun, right? There's bingo.
Yep.
Tonight.
Yeah.
There's Packer games. Tailgate parties, which are fun.
Sober tailgate parties.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That like some people think that's impossible. Those are some fun parties.
For 4th of July, they did an awesome cookout. We had games and tons of food, and we got to watch the fireworks.
And the fireworks were like right there.
That is a good location.
There's a treatment center here in town called Jackie Nitschke Center, and they have tailgate parties too. Sober tailgate parties on their property.
It is doable.
It's more, yes, absolutely.
So let's talk about, you know, the last, I don't know, 20, 30 years. So culture is hard to change. You know, we in business, you learn that all the time. It's like, how are you going to change, you know, the culture of this company and start at the top and everything else. But you shared with me, Larry, some data, which is very encouraging, that younger people maybe don't drink as much as when I was their age.
The latest research is showing that there is not as much alcohol with younger people being consumed as there has been historically. And that right now there is a larger gap, okay, the largest ever, with regard to young people and older people who are drinking, you know, young adults and, you know, adults. You know, and so it's very encouraging.
That, yeah, and for a lot of reasons. I mean, I just talk about, you know, these guys are talking about how excited they are to get up tomorrow and do something. You know, that just that whole attitude, I think, I think this country needs a little better attitude on a lot of things.
And
you know, when I was drinking, it was, I drank to make the day go away. And now that I'm not drinking, I seem to not have enough time to do the things that I want to do.
That's pretty awesome.
You know, I try to be involved at the shelter. You know, I go into the kitchen. I help when I can. We're going to start doing like cooking classes now.
Right.
And, you know, it seems like dinner comes around and it's like, man, I had so much time.
Talk about your thinking and how your thinking's changed, too.
Yeah, it has. Know? It has. My thinking's changed quite a bit. I used to think that I have to do this. I have to drink to go out and have fun. And now that's not even on my mind anymore. Nikki and I will go get on the bus and we'll go have an adventure for the day, mm-hmm. you know, and it's total, we don't even think about alcohol.
Yeah.
It's, we go to the mall and go hit the gumball machines to get bracelets and stuff. You know what
so,
I mean?
Let me ask you guys, cause I'm sure there's people listening there like, ooh, that sounds like a plan. What, and we talked about, you know, your turning, yours was health and Nikki's was a little bit more, you know, look, I could be homeless. And if I'm going to not be homeless, I have to live in a place that's sobriety living, like New Community Shelter. And they're quite strict on it too. So how is it? How has the change been with friendship? I mean, your attitude is obviously stellar, but was there a point where it's like, ooh, is this working or not? Or was it?
I've only had one friend that didn't drink. All my other friends drank, and I don't talk to those friends anymore.
And you're happy?
Yeah, I've made new friends. I've made sober friends.
Right.
And we're extremely happy. You know, we laugh and giggle all day.
And I think what's cool about this and what you're talking about, even with your sober crew, there's more and more of those friends out there.
Oh, yes, there are.
And we... You're doing a good job in this event coming up, you know, this Sunday, this Saturday, I guess I should say, on April 14th. You can maybe meet some new friends, too, that are kind of walking in the same shoes. We all got our own.
We have to change our people, places, and things to be in this recovery.
Right.
To be in this culture of non-drinking. But new people, new places, new things.
But the culture's, it's there. Yeah. And that's what I was saying. I think some people think, like, I'm the only guy that doesn't drink.
Oh, it's there, and
it's getting bigger, and that's what he's saying. So
absolutely.
All right, we're going to talk a little bit about more. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back, focus in on the 14th, and then what recommendations you would have with other programs here in Greater Green Bay so that we can, you know, all live the life that Nikki and Jeremy are living. All right, we're going to be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
With my rhythm, though, it keeps trying to quit for the lines they throw.
With Jim Schmidt, wrapping up this segment of Lean Local, and you know, big event coming up, and no, it's not the Packer game. What's coming up in Green Bay that is equally as important is an organization, a coalition, I should say, not an organization, a coalition of healthcare, of counselors, of people who want a better life, and it's called Celebrate Recovery Month, and this Sunday, September 14th at Bay Beach, there's a lot of things to do there. There's obviously free rides and meal tickets to the first 100. So I guess it's the first 97 because we're going to get there early. So
we're
camping out early. A recovery provider resource fair. And I think that's really important. I want to talk about that now for a few minutes. Of course, there's music and food and rides and everything else. But I think the resources are out there. Even if you go to our website in Green Bay and you look under alcohol, you know, hospitals, there's just a lot of resources out there. And, you know, Larry, you're the licensed guy here, but I want to ask Jeremy and Nikki, what advice would you have? I mean, you have turned your life so much for the better. I mean, you look healthier, you're happier. And I talked to you guys, and I'm really glad you came on the show to share this. But, I mean, it's up to the individual. I get that. But do you have any advice that you would give to someone that is like, ugh, this isn't working?
I just tell them that there's hope. Like, I thought I was a hopeless case. I thought I was alone. I didn't think I could do it.
Wow. That's a big step. I mean, just to go from hopeless to hopeful.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's black and white, day and night. I mean, that's... And what kept you in the game? Is it Jeremy or was it your friends or was it the New Community Shelter? I mean, because I think there's a lot of slippage in recovery.
I would have to say yes to all that. Like, the people I've met at the shelter itself saved my life. Having to be accountable to be sober because they do test for that every day. And having people to hang out with during the day so you don't go out and make bad decisions.
And I think I should say something, a new community, and I read the exit interviews, and we have people that say there are 118 people living there now, and plus we of course, feed, 150 people an evening. And some people get there, and they're not as happy as we would like them to be. Too many rules. But then when they leave, they're like, thank God for those rules. You know, I'm a better person, and I'm ready to go.
Well, the rules aren't that harsh to be able to follow. It's just whether or not you want to.
Right. It's not boot camp.
Yeah. It's.
I can tell you this much, having been in a counselor for 40 years and having worked for several organizations in three different states in those 40 years, I can say without any hesitation that I've seen more recovery, more sobriety come out of New Community Shelter than any other organization I've worked with.
Well, yeah, I mean, in that, you just can't put a price on that.
Mm-mm.
I mean, you are really lifting lives, like, you know, you're not enabling, you're really encouraging. And that's why I'm at New Community. I think it's awesome. Jeremy, I mean, you're professional, kind of went through a tough time. You're back at it. Advice to someone who is struggling, and your industry, I think, is a little bit more prone. I don't know that, but I'm just saying the food and beverage industry, I would think, would be tough.
Yes, yes.
And you were good at it.
I used to consult to a school. What's it called? What's the profession called?
Culinary school.
Yeah. I used to go in there and consult to the people that were going through the school for that very reason.
Yeah. Most of the places I worked at had a bar. And here in Wisconsin was the first time I've ever where you get a free drink after your shift. You get to go out and have a shift drink. Sometimes it depended on who the bartender was. You get more than one. It's a very stressful job, mind you. That's pretty much why I had to get out of it. Stress induces seizures, and so I pretty much had to get out of it for that reason. At New Community, I love the fact that there is that accountability. You know, you at least have to blow once a day. You have to blow anytime they ask you to. You get random UAs and things like that, and it's not hard to live there, really. You get one chore to do, follow some programming, and you know, their programming is trying to get you back on your feet.
Right.
Living on your own is a lot harder than living at the shelter.
Yeah.
The slogan is helping people to help themselves.
Yeah. And getting out there, and we always want to be there for all our graduates, you know, in case they do feel like, you know, that we still want to keep the case managers there. We want to still have that support network. But, yeah, eventually, I mean, people need to get out on their own. And I think to do it sober is doable. And I think you guys are great examples of that. And I think we have to get the word out that it is possible. Because I think there's some people think that it's not possible, you know, when you're the number one or number seven city for the drunkest city your whole life. It's like, this is the normal. And you guys have set a new normal, and I just really applaud you for that. I think it's just awesome. So on the 14th of September, tell me a little bit more how you're going to really not just attend, but you're going to kind of promote it.
I'm going to represent. I'm going to represent Sober Crew. I want us all to have these shirts, and we go as a group, and we have fun, and so that everybody can see that we're proud. I'm proud to wear this shirt. I'm proud to be sober. I'm proud to be part of New Community Shelter.
And we're also proud to be part of the Green Bay community.
Yes.
Right.
That you can do it sober.
You fit in, you're sober, and you're going to be wearing these shirts. Are these shirts, are you going to sell these shirts, you make them, or do you have a plan yet?
I don't have a plan as far as that. We're still.
This is phase one, step one.
I have a rough draft here. I plan on bringing them to group. And getting everybody's opinions, everybody, you know, is going to be a part of it. You know, if you're sober, you want to be sober, stay sober, I want you a part of Sober Crew.
That's awesome, right, Larry? I mean, this is just, and this is not you telling them as psychiatrists.
Right.
This is them telling
us.
This
is the reason I continue to do what I do, is these two people right here.
They bring up, and you guys are good, whether you find yourself as leaders in the community, you are, and we need people like you, and yeah, I'm glad you're proud to be in Green Bay, you're proud to be sober, and yeah, we're proud of you. This is like awesome. So, all right, we'll see everybody Saturday. This Saturday,
no,
the 14th,
yes.
10 to 2 at Bay Beach. It is called Celebrate Recovery Month. You're going to see a lot of friends there. You don't have to be in recovery to attend there. You can be there just to support people. And we're so glad we have this going on. Again, Bay Beach, September 14th, Celebrate Recovery Month. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you, Jeremy. And thank you, Larry, for coming in today. Thanks, you guys are
Jim.
Awesome.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, take care. All right, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next Sunday on Lean Local. Just as long.